Wow, are you excited? No, I mean, really, are you excited? Amen. The Bobbsey twins do such an amazing job. Everybody over 50 caught it. Those under 50 didn't have a clue. But that's incredible. I just want to say, I'm Jonathan Suber. I am not the pastor here. Come back next Sunday. Somebody better looking than me will be up here. But I'm just family. And we're here for the week, and it's been an amazing week. We've had prayer. We've had fasting. Tomorrow night, Papa Ron Teal is going to be back, and we're going to tag team. I said that to tell you, you need to find anybody that's sick and afflicted or mad, busted, disgusted, whatever. Get them here tomorrow night, because there's going to be great body ministry, and we're very excited about that, what God's going to do. So you want to be here. It's just going to be a flow in Monday night prayer, but we're excited about what God is going to release in the atmosphere. Amen. But I just want to brag you a little bit. I can't help it. I was watching the video, and as one of the overseers of the church and getting to be here and work with the staff and your amazing pastors and everybody that's involved, you might get tired of me telling you this, but just look at somebody and say, you're awesome. I don't think, and I really don't, and I saw it last night. I saw it last night, and you need to hear it from an outsider. Do you realize the impact that this local house is having on this region? Do you realize the power and synergy of unity that happened last night with so many churches and ministries and musicians and pastors coming together? But the excellence from your serve teams, from your board of directors, from your church board, your serve team, your hospitality teams, your music, your technology, everything you do. I go to churches that are so much bigger and don't do it anywhere close to excellence like you guys do. And I just want to say, from an outsider that comes in as a guest, you guys are absolutely incredible. And sometimes I think you just need to stop and thank God for this church, for this house, and for the level of lead. I think you do. I think you just need to stop. Amen. And I know when I do that, you're like, why do you do that? You say that every time, because I love you guys, and you guys are absolutely incredible. And the presence that's here, we've already had miracles today. There have already been things that have happened. I don't know, what's the lady that, you know, that sings so incredible up here? Diane, were you healed in first service? Well, come on, stand up, move around what you could. Look, she couldn't do. She's been in pain all her life from a bone disease, then two car wrecks. Kind of show us what you were showing us in the first service. Just move around a little bit. Yeah. Well, somebody ought to get. Yeah, she's K-N-O-T free. Oh, somebody get happy. Look at that. She wants to dance. We could have had a praise dancer up here today. She was kicking her legs. It was so funny, because right in the middle of the end of the service, if you would have walked in for this service too early, you would have thought we were doing kung fu. Because she was like doing the standing crane or whatever it was. And I was kind of like, oh, can you do it like this? Can you do it? And you would have thought we were practicing kung fu. Isn't it crazy to be a part of the kingdom of God? It's an exciting thing. I also just want to thank you and talk to you a little bit about Oasis. Most of you know, but if you're a guest, what you may not know is that the Harbor community, and Pastor stepped out earlier, I don't know if he even heard this, the Harbor community, because of the heart of your senior pastor that is not selfish, a couple years ago, he prophesied to me at the airport and really shook my world. He made me mad, number one, and then he shook my world. And one thing that we have learned through the years, 25 years or plus, about Marvin Poole and Angela Poole, is he may prophesy or he may tell you something, but he doesn't just say it. He'll walk it with you. And not only did he prophesy something, he has helped us birth it. And now 2 years later, there's a church in Round Rock, Texas. Alex just texted me before this service. At the beginning of the second service, there were at least 10 brand new families at the going into the second service. Wednesday night, we had 124 at First Wednesday prayer meeting, and miracles, signs and wonders, legs straight, all kind of stuff, demons cast out. You say, oh, I don't believe in that. Well, don't come to Oasis. There's all kind of stuff happening, and then, you know, just kind of crazy. They laughing at us because we kind of gangsta Bethel. People talk about Bethel. We have a lot of inner city people. You know, we may have to bail some of our staff out every once in a while. We've already had to do it occasionally. It just happens. We just, people are just coming to the Lord, and we're just throwing them in there and using them. Matter of fact, we baptized a girl last week that's been on our platform and teaching our kids, never even been baptized. So we got her baptized last week because we just throwing them in. Hey, you love Jesus? You want to be a part of Oasis? You save? Well, not totally save. Oh, that's all right. Halfway works, and we'll just throw them in. We just throwing them in there. Like I had one of my guys tell me, he said, Pastor, I'm saved, but I ain't that saved. So, it's just been incredible. But what I wanted to tell you is that this community, when we stepped out by faith, God didn't provide actually through or how we thought it was. And you need to know that the Harbor community has been our largest donor. And over half, say this with me, over half of our launch budget of a church that is now over 300 in people that consider it their home in 10 weeks, but a church that is on its feet. We're a baby. We're only 11 weeks this week old. But over half our launch budget came from you, this community, people in this community, because your pastor opened his hand and said, hey, we're going to sow into that. So I think that it's kind of a big deal. Let's just talk for a moment. Last night, God used the ministry and leadership of this house, and she don't talk a lot about herself, but God's hand is on Michelle Bro, and God has used this vision, and because of true apostolic oversight, her submitting completely to the alignment of this house, God took the influence that her apostle and senior pastor has, took that influence, gave her a vision, and drew people together last night where there were over 500 people from different rivers, different belief systems, different concepts in Christianity, different races, different tribes, different socioeconomic backgrounds, and began to do something that was absolutely incredible. So I just want you to look around. I want you to look around. You need to understand that what God is doing this year is so much bigger than you that it's going to blow your mind. It is so much bigger than you. So while you're sitting here and I'm talking, you need to realize there's a sister church in Round Rock, North Austin, Texas. There's a sister, at least one, and we've been getting all these prophecies that we're going to have to plant another one before the end of the year. And I'm like, Lord, I'm tired already. But we've already got groups meeting and people that won't. So what you're birthing here in Hammond is spreading to the nation of Texas. And so as the great nation of Texas is being impacted, you're affecting the world. That's your worldwide vision to the nations. We're starting at the nation of Texas. And then we're going, that's it. No, I'm telling you, it says it out there to the nations. I walked in yesterday when they were painting it, and I said, it started in the nation of Texas, and it's going to spread all over the world. Hallelujah. But it's incredible, and I don't think sometimes that you get it. I don't think sometimes that even Pastor gets it. I want you to realize that you're a part of Kingdom Momentum and that God is doing something absolutely incredible. Does that make sense? Now today, we had amazing things happen at the end. I need to be through. They told me that we need to be through today by 2:30 so that we can transition. I understand that, and I appreciate that. I'm going to talk about something somewhere in the first service, and they were so shocked, because I'm going to talk. Do what? Talk about tomorrow night? I thought I did. I did a whole input of impartation about me and Ron going to be here. And if you knew anybody, how many of you knew I did 4 minutes on it? Raise a hand. 4 minutes on it. That's also what happens when you have a pastor that has ADD. Just saying. No. Out of the van. Oh, my Lord. Now, he was texting the people that wasn't here. Oh, I know what you mean. I do the same thing. Now that I got this kind of phone, it's crazy, because I'm sitting on the front row going, where are you at? Are y'all coming? I feel like Dick Tracy. What? That was old school there. Some of you are like, who is that? Go get a comic book. How many of you have this metal, this gray one on? You have this gray, says, let heaven come. How many of you have that on? Why don't you just pop it? Just pop it, because what I'm going to do today is so, so crazy for me. It's so nuts for me to preach this way. I'm going so out of my candy stick and wheelhouse. I'm going to stretch myself theologically so much, and I'm going to talk about let heaven come. That's a joke, people, okay? I'm going to talk about let heaven come and the kingdom coming. And I just want to start in Matthew 9, which is the template or the DNA of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I know your pastor and your team always tell you this. When Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, he is not praying. He is teaching them to pray. He is teaching them that you can't even start praying unless you are in alignment with the identity over your life. Unless you know who your Father is, you have no authority in your prayers. We pray amiss and pray impotent if you don't pray understanding our Father, which art in heaven, and then you pull heaven and identity and authority into your circumstance. Does that make sense? That's point number one. That ought to make you want to run the aisles. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. This is Jesus not praying. He is teaching us to pray. Why would he teach us to pray something that is not possible, or it is simply a spiritual, metaphorical, metaphysical phenomenon that when I say your kingdom come, I mean someday when I die, I'll go to heaven. Why would Jesus teach us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Why would he teach us to pray this if it's not possible? We believe it when he say, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devil. They'll speak in new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They'll tread on scorpions and serpents. We believe that, but a lot of times we don't believe that the kingdom is something that we can activate through our identity and alignment with the Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. So it's alignment. Then we have our forgiveness. Then we have our protection. Do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom. Say that with me. The kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For yours is the kingdom, the eternal, everlasting kingdom. Jesus was teaching that we can activate heaven on earth, because kingdom is government. Heaven is operation. No, you got to hear it. Kingdom is government. Kingdom is administrative. We understand that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We understand that when Jesus came, he came to take over, and he came to take back what the enemy had come, sin, disease, infirmity. He came to take back by his blood on the cross as the sacrificial lamb. He broke the curse. He put us back in alignment with the Father. He was prophesying to this already, teaching us how to pray, our Father which art in heaven. There are some in this room right now, you need to come in identity with who you are. You are a child of God. You are a child of God on assignment. Not only are you a child of God, you're an adopted child of God. Have you ever studied the doctrine of adoption in the New Testament? Because in Jewish culture, when you are adopted, you could never be disinherited. So that when you are an adopted child of God, when you are grafted into the kingdom by the law of adoption, he cannot unadopt you. You are a son forever. You may be a prodigal son. You can choose to die in the pig pen. But if you get out of the pig pen and begin to walk home, the Father will run to meet you, because he's not mad at you. I wish I could preach today. He's not mad at you. He is waiting on you, and he'll run to meet you where you are. One of the concepts of the kingdom or heaven coming that I think we've got to understand today is that Jesus said it to the Pharisees, but I'm going to say it to you. The kingdom of God is within you. So the concept of letting heaven come to earth is, how do we get what is in us activated in the real world? Because just feeling goosebumps on Sunday is not good enough for me. I'm sorry, it's not good enough for me. There has to be a way. And I was praying last night, and Ron said, what are you preaching? I said, what I want to preach is so, I can't put it all in notes. I just want to get up and just go, because what I want to preach is, let heaven come. But how do we know that heaven has come, and how do we operate in heaven on earth without it just being ritual and religion and just another service and just another song? I know we sing it. I know we say it, but I want to see it. No, you need to hear me. I know we sing it. I know we say it, but I want to see it. And last night I began to see something, and I wanted, and you would have all thought I was crazy, because I just wanted to stand there and start screaming, because I'm kind of emotional, and I tears in my face and just going, this is it. Because 2 years ago on Pentecost Sunday, I was getting ready to preach a Pentecostal conference in Louisville of actually over 100, I think they said there's 183 different Pentecostal type rivers and leaders of different denominations that were there, and it was during Pentecost week. And so I'm praying into Pentecost, and I was raised, my church culture, not my experience, but my culture was Pentecostal. My experience is heaven on earth, but my culture was Pentecostal. Some people get that confused. My church culture was Pentecostal, so I was raised that way. And so I'm praying into it from the paradigm, from the filter of how I was raised. I was praying into it from being raised Pentecostal. So Pentecostal means to me, when you come together with a bunch of believers, we're going to have some on fire up in here, praise the Lord. Somebody going to holler. Somebody going to sweat. Somebody going to get a towel. There's going to be some Jerry Curl and some fried chicken. Somebody going to get on the organ. Somebody going to say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. You know, it's going to be revival. And so I was all praying about fire. We need, and I was in the hotel, and I'm just praying, we need fire. And when I pray, well, I don't know why I raise my voice when I'm praying. He's not deaf. He's not far. He's not mad. He's not deaf. But when no one's around and I've got my G.E. Patterson Pandora on, y'all don't even know who I'm talking to. Go look it up. Bishop G.E. Patterson, Church of God in Christ, Memphis, Tennessee. Praise the Lord. And so I got my G.E. Patterson Pandora on, and it's loud, so I'm loud. And I'm praying, we need fresh fire. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and I'm preaching to the one that sent the fire on the day of Pentecost, and I'm telling, how many of you been to churches where prayer meeting is just somebody preaching to Jesus? You came to the tomb of Lazarus, and you told Mary, Mary, why do you moan? Martha, why do you weep? You said, somebody roll back the stone. Hey, Lord. And you pray it, and he's up there going, I was there. John was there. He wrote the book. I mean, why are you preaching it to me? So I'm into it. I'm into fire. I want to feel wind. I said, Lord, I want to feel wind. I want the wind to blow, the wind like on the day of Pentecost. And if I've ever heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and I'm not making fun at all, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, why are you praying for fresh fire and fresh wind when it has never been prophesied one time that there would ever be another day of Pentecost? Why are you praying for fresh fire, fresh wind, and a fresh Pentecost when I'm still praying that you may be one? Oh, that was good. That was much better preaching than you responded. I need somebody to go, hey, get you. Okay, there you go. So, why are you laughing at me? Y'all too white. I'm sorry. You too white. I'm back in my element. I was doing good for several years, but now that I'm back in the way, now it's just scary. But I was, so I'm praying that. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, I am still praying. He said, if my body, which has been dismembered, would be remembered around communion. That's why we do it every Sunday, and that's why it's so powerful. Because Jesus said, when you do this in remembrance of me. I know what remember means, but it also means to take the dismembered, disjointed pieces and bring them back together. He said, if my body, which has been dismembered, it would be like the valley of dry bones that Ezekiel saw, that he said, I want you to prophesy to the bones. And in this region, what would happen in 2017 if every dismembered, disjointed, jointed, disconnected, fivefold member, if every church relationship, if every church hurt would begin to be restored by the wind of the Spirit, and the hip bone would begin to be joined, and all of a sudden the ankle bone and the knee bone and the shoulder bone, and God begins to remember the body of Christ. He said, quit praying for a fresh Pentecost and answer my prayer. He said, you don't need to pray, you need to work. If you will answer my prayer and be one, then I will manifest heaven on earth. Oh, somebody will jump up and whistle and shout on that one. That's kind of powerful. That why are you waiting around? So here's what I want to tell you. This is what I got excited about last night. I saw you stepping into the work part, the work of faith, the work of heaven, the work of the Spirit, because somebody had to get on the telephone. Somebody had to reconcile. I don't know anything. Just like there was an old TV show. I can't help it. I'm aging myself. But there was this old TV show. Did anybody ever watch Hogan's Heroes? Where's my old guys? Okay, there you are. There we are. Okay, when Sergeant Schultz would go, I know nothing. Okay, you're not that old, are you? Okay, I know nothing. Okay, I know nothing. That's exactly how I feel, but I guarantee you, last night took reconciliation. There were people on the platform. There's people in the room. There's people that prayed that maybe a year ago, 6 months ago, 2 days ago, didn't even like each other. But when the wind begins to blow and God begins to do a new thing, he is putting his body back together again and his kingdom on earth. That ought to make somebody get excited that you're a part of a new thing. So when the Lord began to speak to me a few weeks ago, I think I was here on a Monday night prayer meeting, and the Lord spoke to me, and it's so weird. That's why you say, Super, why do you come? Why do you and Stephanie like to be here? Well, number one, it was in this place about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that God did a miracle in healing in our family, a supernatural healing in our family, that our family was restored at the verge of a complete
breakthrough and breakdown that God restored our family in this altar on a Tuesday night, Joel Stockstill and all those guys, about 3 years ago. It was a year ago when the Lord gave me the complete vision and release to start Oasis. So it's kind of a big deal what God does here when I come to pray. So I like hanging out here. But as I was here a few weeks ago, that's when the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, tell my people to not look for the next, only the new. Tell my people to begin to look for the new. So when I say new, some of you are like trying to define, was that new pain? Is that a new building? Is that a new location? I don't know about all that. But I know that one thing that's new is the doctrine of reconciliation and the anointing of unity and the oneness that is coming into this region. You ought to take your neighbor by the hand, raise those hands right now, and begin to declare that with me. Just say, all things new right now. Begin to decree it and declare it right now. All things new. All things new. Everything that's been dismembered, disjointed, would begin to be drawn together, would begin to be put together, to be fitly joined together by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Rabasha. Just pray it in the spirit. Whatever you feel right now. Whatever you feel right now, there's the activation of heaven coming. There's the activation of heaven coming. Do you feel it? Do you sense it? I didn't say this in the first service, but I was sitting in the second service trying to assimilate what I'm feeling about this let heaven come and about assimilating how Jesus looks at the Pharisees and says the kingdom of God is within. And then this whole wind thing and this whole fire thing and this whole quit praying for fresh Pentecost, but pray that I would be one. And then what I saw last night, I've traveled a lot. And those of you who know my story, you know most of my testimonies. And when you preach somewhere a lot or when you listen to people's tapes, and many of you have my series, whatever, I'm just me. I only have so many, I only have such a life. I can't make up anything. I'm just me. So I may tell something that you've heard before or whatever, but one of the most kingdom moments that I've ever had in my life is when my mom and Lyle and I flew to Kampala, Uganda, several years ago. We had gone to Ivory Coast to preach where my dad started Many Works and all that. And we flew to Uganda. I had heard about the revival in Uganda. But Uganda at that point, now it's spread around the world now, even in Asia. But the revival in Uganda is so unique because the revival in Uganda did not start in a spirit-filled environment. It did not start from people that had any concept of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as we know it on the day of Pentecost, or what we would call that spiritual encounter, the infilling, the baptism, whatever. The revival in Uganda started from Christians who were being persecuted by the government to the point that the only place time they could worship would be late at night in the swamps when the soldiers, because you can go back and read in history when Idi Amin would come in and all the stuff would happen, they would literally go in churches and mow down people in the church while they were worshiping. In the Anglican churches, in the Catholic churches, in the denominational churches, they were coming in and literally taking machine guns. They were taking fire and all this stuff. They would come in and just burn an entire building down, with children, with women, with whatever, with Christians. There was great persecution. But they decided that they could come together in the swamps because the soldiers wouldn't follow them in the swamps because of the snakes and the alligators and the malaria and everything that was going on and everything happening in that area. It was right at this point there was so much sin because of the debauchery of the government that is where the AIDS virus began to starting in the Congo, starting in East Africa, coming into there. Uganda was affected first and fastest, that more people died of AIDS and HIV in Uganda than anywhere in the world at the beginning of that time. It's at that season of great persecution going on because whatever is happening in the natural is a mirror of what is happening in the supernatural. But this is something that's amazing to me. Desperation is the birthplace of the miraculous. And so when you have people that have the word, that have heard of Jesus, they have enough Bible to know that there's something there. They just haven't had the encounter of heaven on earth yet. They begin to gather in the jungles. They begin to actually gather out in the swamps of Uganda. And at night, Tim, they would go and they would gather around and just sing and worship. How many of you have ever heard Israel Houghton? You've ever listened to his song? There's a song that he does that you'll hear on his album from South Africa that goes, "You are Alpha and Omega, we worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to." Have you ever heard it? Two of you have? That's great. But it goes into, we give you all, I can't say it's too high, the glory. It's absolutely powerful. Every time I hear it sing, I start weeping. But the reason I weep is not because it was on a CD, but it was birth. They say it was about a 17-year-old young man that in the middle of the swamps, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit in heaven came to earth in Uganda, you have all these people under persecution. And when the soldiers would come with the spotlights, they're standing in the swamps with moccasins and snakes beginning to swing and crocodiles and all this stuff you can imagine in the African jungle. And they're at night and they're trying to hide. And in the middle of the night, this young man began to sing, we give you all the glory. And they said it was like something pierced the heavens and the Holy Ghost fell. And heaven came to earth in that nation. And thousands in just a process of days were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And there was such a release that happened is they literally began to document that when they would go back in the cities, that soldiers would drop their guns and begin to fall down and confess that Jesus is Lord. That there began, I know I'm going to preach here for a few minutes. There was such a change in the culture. You can go, you can testify. There was such a change in the culture that by the time I got to Uganda a few years ago, it is now a Christian nation. The president is spirit-filled. The president's wife is spirit-filled. The president's wife gave over $200 million for the TBN TV network to be built, and I preached on it all around Africa. She actually gave it to TBN because she wanted the gospel to be preached around the world. So by the time I get to Uganda, you either have spirit-filled Christians, it don't matter what they are, because there's no such thing as denomination over there now. They're interdenomination. The Anglicans talk in tongues. The Pentecostals quote the Bible. They just kind of interchange. It's incredible. They just kind of interchange. It's just amazing how they just, you don't even know what they are because everybody's a believer. So I've been there about 2 days and Bishop Shigunda told me, he said, Pastor, he said, we're going to the market. I said, yes. He said, it's going to be Christian and it's going to be Muslim. He said, there is no black or there is no gray here. It is only black and white. It is either God or the devil. It is either Jesus or it is Satan. He said, I want you to walk in the market and I just want you to say hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. He said, whatever you want to do. I said, no, man. So they got Muslims right here. They got machine guns right here. They got soldiers around here. He said, no, trust me. Trust me. Just so we're in the middle of the market where normally you're in the middle of the market, especially if you're a big white guy like me. You don't want to draw attention to yourself because there's pickpockets. There's all this stuff. So I just walk in. I throw my hands up and I go, hallelujah, Jesus. When I do that, people start dropping pots. People start moving whatever, and all these Christians start just coming out of everywhere, just hallelujah, 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 and it was absolutely incredible. I was there. I was already tired. I was already jet lagged. But one of the things that blew my mind is they wouldn't let me rest because of what happened in the swamps. When the kingdom came to earth, every denomination believed in intercessory prayer. You could be a Methodist and you prayed in the spirit. You could be a Catholic priest and you cast out devils. Because when the kingdom comes to earth, it breaks religious stereotypes. It removes filters and his spirit becomes poured out upon all flesh. That's why Peter said, this is that was spoken up by the prophet Joel, that in the last days saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The only thing that limits heaven is our walls. Ooh, I feel like preaching here. I got to be careful. The only thing that limits heaven coming to earth is our walls. What would happen if we would answer the prayer request of Jesus? What if we spent less time building ministries and more time building the kingdom? He told me, so they pick us up. Lyle was like, oh my God, Bishop. He said, I can't get up. I can't pray anymore. I said, no, we're going to pray. They had 5 o'clock prayer meeting. They had noon prayer meeting. But this is what was funny. We went to a different prayer meeting every day I was there in a different type church, but they all acted the same. Didn't matter what the name was on the wall, they were all praying in the spirit. There would be hundreds of people at noon prayer meeting, at morning prayer meeting. And finally, I began to hear the story. They told me about the persecution and all that. I said, what is happening? And for the first time in my life, I began to see what would happen to a culture and a region when heaven really begins to come to earth. And what happens when there's a true activation of the kingdom and the heavenlies of God. What would happen if there was such a unity and reconciliation and anointing that would could start at the Harbor today, and then Ron's over at Calvary, then there's other churches, the Mission and others represented last night. What if every church that was represented last night is baptized new in the Holy Spirit today, and God would start this revolution of heaven on earth in this oh, somebody raise your hands and say yes, 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 yes. So they begin to tell me all this stuff, all this HIV stuff. So I end up going to church, and some of you may have heard this part because I tell the story about my mother. We go to the prostitute camp, and it was incredible how many prostitutes we were able to lead to the Lord and got them out of the camps and all that. But we go to church, and the choir, his choir, Bishop Shigunda's choir, is over 400 people each service, different people, not the same choir. He don't have the same praise team. Every service he has over 400 in his choir. He can only seat 4,000 in his metal building. In the middle, when I say metal, it's like a tin building in the middle of nowhere. So it's actually on a trash dump. And my mother, to get to church, I look down at her sandals, and my little wonderful, beautiful little mother is wading in human waste to get to church. And she's sloshing through human waste, just do your imagination, to get to church. And I look down and I go, oh, my God, Mama, look at your feet. And she looks at me, and you got to know my mama. She said, well, Bubba, it's not the first time. And I'm like, well, hallelujah, here we go. And so we're walking and we're worshiping. At the first service does it, and I think that's great. Second service. And then Shigunda comes over. He said, isn't Jesus wonderful? And I said, oh, yes, he's very wonderful. It's powerful. I said, it's a great movie. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, over 90% of all of my choir had HIV. But when we received the revelation of the blood of Jesus, we serve communion every service. And we believe and declare that by his stripes we are healed. No, stay with me here. You got to, this. I saw this with my own eyes. Over 90% of his choir and worshipers at one point had HIV. Every member of his team and choir had been medically released, and they were supernaturally healed. No, you won't read this in the science books, but I'm telling you from experience, the reason Uganda is one of the least affected countries of HIV in the world today, and it used to be the most affected, is because heaven came to earth, and because there was an activation of the kingdom to where the believers were empowered to release what was in them. Didn't Jesus say, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father who sent me. Punch somebody and say, it's about to get greater, 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 and it's about to be new. Hallelujah. What time is it? Are you bored? I feel something moving in here. Can you sense it? Can you sense it? Can we just pray into it for a moment? I just want to stop and pray into it for a moment. I don't want to just talk. I don't want to just build your faith. But I'm telling you, I feel something moving because I'm praying into that word, new, new, new. God, what new? And when I say new, immediately you go back and you say, well, maybe new like Bethel, or maybe new like Ahop, or maybe new like Azusa Street, or maybe it's a new building, maybe it's a new property, maybe it's a new sign. No, what if it's a new thing? What if it's a that? What if it's a this is that? What if I can't even explain what that is? What if it's just the kingdom coming to earth? What if heaven comes in Hammond and this region? What if it started in the last few weeks or months? What if last night was the first tangible manifestation that we have begun seeing in this new region, in this new era? What if, what if, what if? Keep your hands up, keep your hands up, and release what's in you because the kingdom is within. Begin to release what you carry, right? I don't know what it is. Whatever dream you carry, whatever gifting you carry. There are people in this room, you know you operate in miracles. I want you to raise your hand and begin to release it right now. You operate in deliverance, release it right now. You operate in deliverance and salvation and sozo, release it right now. You operate in freedom, release it. You operate in love. You operate in the goodness of God. I want you to release it right now because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So I want you, what is it? Is it the goodness of God? Is it the joy of the Lord? Is it the love of God? Is it the unoffendable spirit of the kingdom? Whatever it is, I want you to raise your hands, open your mouth, and release what you carry. Somebody wants to stand. Somebody, whatever you want to do. What do you carry? I'm not telling you what you carry. I'm asking you to open your mouth and release what you carry right now. Release. I release joy. I release word. I release revelation. I release peace. I release healing. I release miracles. There's people in this room that need to receive. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hmm. Ooh, I'm not nervous when I get quiet. I'm just telling you I feel something very, very strong. Can you release what is in? The kingdom is within. We are activating the gospel of the kingdom in this room right now. We're releasing the love of God and the manifestation of every infirmity has to leave right now. I'm telling you, if you come into this room with a sickness, a diagnosis, an infirmity in your body, whether it's high blood pressure, whether it's sugar diabetes, whether it's cancer, whatever it is, I'm releasing it now off of you in Jesus' name. I cancel the assignment of the enemy and I release the identity of God over you. He has spoken over you. He is a loving Father. He has decreed and declared that He is pleased over you. He has activated the authority and the giftings in your life. I align you with the identity of heaven and I say, let heaven come. Hallelujah. Let heaven come. Hallelujah. So I was, are we all right? Can I have 5 minutes? We'll end it. I still got to, okay, so here's what happens is I was praying into this. Now, everything I've said up to now is kind of metaphorical. Everything I've said up to now, I've talked about Africa, and you love me. People love me to tell missionary stories because they don't feel responsible because, well, that happened in Africa. That happened in Uganda. That's good, but that won't happen in Hammond because we're more educated. Yeah, we may be educated outside of our need for God. A lot of people ask me why we don't see the miraculous. I'll tell you what, number one, I see a level of forgiveness and a level of unity in the third world that I don't see in American church. There's a level of humility of one another. They know how to submit themselves one to another. So there's a level of forgiveness. There's a level of humility. But as I was praying last night, and Ron came, he said, man, what are you feeling? I said, it's so hard for me to articulate what I'm really feeling. But I'm honestly feeling to tell somebody when we talk about this heaven thing, you do know that when Jesus was born, and I said this a month ago, but you need to hear it, that when that whole scriptural concept of Emmanuel, God being with us, when Jesus was born, heaven came to earth. But when Jesus was resurrected, heaven was released on you. And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when that suddenly happened, heaven was activated in the people. The kingdom was within them, but heaven didn't flow out of them till they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But when the kingdom was activated on the day of Pentecost, when they began to speak in an unknown tongue and prophesy, and they began to activate the giftings that were in them, say activation, when they began to activate the giftings that were in them, everything shifted. And that's how Peter could begin to explain things that he doesn't even understand. So on the day of Pentecost, it was absolutely incredible. Say it with me. Heaven came to earth. I said it earlier. Fire. Wind. They spoke different languages. They spoke known languages. And that's what excites me. And sometimes I talk to some of you that's traveled overseas. I get so excited when I'm in a service and somebody that doesn't know any language begins to speak and begins to prophesy in a natural language by the Holy Spirit. I love it when people that don't speak French begin to pray in tongues over me in French and God begins to speak to me supernaturally. My mother was going in for heart procedure a few weeks ago, right when we were birthing the church. We were praying for her in our group, and she was very afraid because she's all we have. She's 70 now. We lost my father, and she trusts God, but it's easy for her to get anxiety because she just that's just her personality, and she was worried. The doctors had told her stuff, and we're in a group. The whole lead team of Oasis is there. Alex takes her and holds her and begins to pray over her. In about 10 minutes, she just starts sobbing, and you can feel the presence, and I lean over and go, what's going on? And he was praying for her in fluent Parisian French. Not only Parisian French, but there's a different type French. There's high French, low French. It's like the King James Bible. There's what we call Bible French. You don't find it. It's archaic French. You don't find it anywhere except in some of the old French translations of the Bible. He was speaking that kind. It was almost like he was speaking to her in King James French. King James English. It was almost like the thou and thou nots and all this kind of stuff. And he was speaking to her so intimately by the Holy Spirit. And all that Alex knows in French is bonjour. And you don't say that right. And he was praying for her. See, that's heaven on earth. But after that incredible experience on the day of Pentecost, and you got to get this, and I'm going to release it, and we're going to see what God's going to do. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are no longer in the heavenlies. All they know to do is what they've always done. This may have been the temple where they had their bar mitzvah. This may have been the temple where they were circumcised. This may have been the temple of their personal rabbi. I don't know their relationship with this temple, but I do know it was common for them to go to the temple and to worship. So they were still in an old religious paradigm, even though heaven had been activated in them, but they didn't know what else to do but go do what we do. That, am I helping anybody? That even though heaven on earth and even though you have been activated, you're going to have to live in the real world and have to take this to the real world. So how do we bring heaven to earth and it affect the real world and not just give us goosebumps on Sunday? So it's not just about saying and seeing, it's about seeing. Am I making sense to anybody? So they're going to the temple on the third. They're just doing the thing, Tim. They're just being faithful. They're not going to a Christian church. They're going to where the Torah is. They're actually going to where the law is taught. So they're caught in two rivers. And as they are going into the temple to worship, this lame man that they probably passed their entire life begins to cry out alms. But when the heavens have been activated in you, what you used to could put up with, you can't put up with anymore. I wish I could dance and preach this right now. When heaven has been activated in you, the sickness that you could live with, once you have revelation that God is able to loose you and to free you, you are no longer satisfied to put up with it. You're no longer satisfied for your children to be bound with addiction. You're no longer satisfied with your spouse to be lost. When heaven is activated in you, things that you used to could walk by, you can't walk by anymore. You can't walk by poverty anymore. You can't walk by racism anymore. You can't walk by fear anymore. You can't walk by anger anymore. The things that you used to could go to church and worship, you can't pass anymore. But he turned around and said, silver and gold have I none. I said this earlier, but it convicts me. My father was in Africa for years. He had come home every 3 or 4 years and travel. And one of the things he would always say is, we must be very careful, Bubba, that in the American church that we don't learn how to say, silver and gold have we plenty, but what you need, we don't have any. He said, if it's on the menu, you better have it in the kitchen. No. If unity is on the menu, we better have it in the kitchen. If reconciliation is on the menu, we better have it in the kitchen. If miracles are on the menu, if freedom is on the menu, if sozo and wholeness is on the menu, if deliverance is on the menu, if we have it on the menu, we better have somebody preparing it in the kitchen, get ready to serve it up, being ready to affect the environment. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. Now here's the thing. Here's what the Bible said. And the lame man expecting to receive something. Heaven activates expectation. So even people that come last night, or even people you've ministered to for years, I've witnessed to my husband don't want to come to church. This has nothing to do with church. Now that heaven's being activated on you, now that you have prayed to a season of the open heaven, what if it's no longer about what he wants? What if heaven is activated and he expecting to receive something from them called out? And the Bible said that Peter grabbed him by the right hand, pulled him up, and he leapt to his feet. Now, I could preach that because I'm a preacher, and I could get me an organ behind me, but I didn't come to preach the story. I come to ask you to think for a moment. Is it possible that because God knows the end from the beginning and he actually wrote the book, is it possible that the reason the very first miracle outside the day of Pentecost involved a cripple is that every one of us, after heaven comes to earth, will have to walk by that which has been wounded, broken, maimed, lame, crippled, broken, weakened? And is it possible that what God wants to do? Well, that went over like high heel tennis shoes. What if when heaven comes to earth, the very first thing that's affected is that which is crippled and impotent in your life? And what if what God wants to do today, going into this new season, what if God wants to restore that which has been broken and twisted? Oh, Lord, help me. What about crippled emotions? What about lame, broken families? I don't know if you're twisted. There may not be anybody here that's actually bent over physically. But what about in the natural? Is there anything in your life that's crippled? Is there anything lame? Is there anything disjointed? Is there anything or anybody twisted in your life and in your circumstances? Raise your hand if I'm talking to you right now. What if that's going to start the activation of the kingdom? What if right now today, God begins to heal that which is crippled? God begins to heal that which is lame. God begins to heal. What is impotency? Impotency means he has no power from the waist down, which means he had no power to multiply. He had no power to be fruitful. What if your life, you've never been able to bear fruit? You're so frustrated because you never seem to be able to go to the next level. You never seem to be able to bear fruit. No one's ever saved. Nothing's ever better. You never get ahead in life. It's just poverty and fear and depression and sickness and disease and infirmity. It's going to be broken today because heaven is coming. Musicians, come. Musicians, come. Huh, right now, raise your hands. Raise your hands. I feel God. I can't do it. I'm just human. But what if what was birthed in a swamp in Uganda was birthed at the harbor today? What if the kingdom of God, what if heaven come to earth? What if we begin to activate? Because was the day of Pentecost real? Yes, but Peter's not operating on the power of the day of Pentecost. He is operating by the activation of heaven that is within him. And when he carries heaven to the need recognizes what is in him, and the need expects expectation, desperation, and reception. The three significant processes, I would say, to the supernatural, to the miraculous, is if you don't expect it to happen, it's not going to happen. If you're not desperate, you probably won't get God's attention. And God can give it, but if you don't receive it, it just falls to the ground. Whew, hallelujah.